about Ross and Patrick.
I don't care.
Yeah, like, who cares?
They obviously care about themselves, but who else do they care about?
I don't know. I'm not so sure.
Maybe we'll have a guest or two.
The world's going up in flames, so, like, who cares?
Who cares?
We care.
Gross. Hey, everybody, welcome to Who Cares? We're back. Papusaria. Papusaria. That's our new song we've been singing.
Yeah, it's our new hit.
Jingle. It's a jingle.
It's our, yeah, I guess we do jingles more than we do songs.
Yeah, they're always, it's just like a phrase.
Jingles. Yeah.
It's like a phrase or two. There's rarely a verse, chorus, verse.
No, never. No.
There's no structure.
We don't operate in actual song structure.
What's
no,
the
no.
other one? What's the...
Just side note, Papusaria came to us because there is a papusaria like a block away from our apartment.
Yeah, it's a little tiny
that word is just fun.
It's a food truck. They make pupusas, which are...
It's not a food truck. It's a food shack.
Yeah, it's a food shack on Saddam Street.
Saddam.
And Knickerbocker Avenue. It's on the side of a building. A dentist office, actually, is what it leans up against.
It is a bit of a lean-to.
And pupusas are South American,
El
right?
Salvadorian,
El Salvadorian, little, like, tacos? No, they're like quesadillas, sort of. Empanadas.
I mean, I feel like the word papusa, just whatever comes into your mind when you say papusa, like that's what it is.
When I think of
it's
papusa,
like a pocket.
I think a restroom situation.
A restroom?
Yeah, like you're going to the bathroom, papusa. You're taking a papusa.
I think of like, I don't know why, but I think of like a kangaroo's pouch.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, a purse.
Yeah.
Purse first.
Oh, my God. I played that song for my brother while I was in Virginia, which I'll get into, listener.
Mm-hmm. Stay tuned.
One listener. And he was into it for like the first minute or so. And then he was like, I think I've had enough.
You're talking about showing your brother Bob the Drag Queen's hit single, Purse First.
Purse First.
Walk into the room, purse first.
Purse first. Oh, walk into the room, purse first.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a great track.
I was at a bar recently where they're playing all the drag queens' music videos, and I was surprised.
All the drag queens.
No, like Coco Montrese had a video.
What?
Yeah, and it was
really good. No,
the song was good.
Hun.
And the video was good.
Coco Montrese.
Yes, it was like I was like, I am so happy to see this because now I know she's talented. No, she's talented in her own way, and I like that video. Anyway.
By the way, Coco Montrese is a drag queen that competed on RuPaul's Drag Race,
yeah,
which is why we're so familiar with her.
Yeah, these are RuPaul Drag Race contestants.
But I believe that she is actually a Janet Jackson impersonator in Vegas.
Yeah.
That's like how she makes that money.
Anyway, papusaria.
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 That's it.
Is it racist that we're singing the song in that way? Who knows?
Perhaps, but like, it's fun.
We love El Salvador. We love the people of El Salvador. We love the pupusas. Well, if you want great pupusas,
no shade.
Go to Bahia on Grand Avenue.
Street. Those are great pupusas.
Grand Street? What is Grand in Williamsburg?
Yeah, it's on Grand.
Street or Avenue? Grand Avenue goes to Elmhurst.
It's Street.
Grand Street, Williamsburg, New York, Bahia. Excellent pupusas.
Excellent pupusas.
What are we talking about,
Who
hon?
Gives
we
a
have
fuck?
Been out of service. The podcast has been on hiatus because there's been a lot going on. Our last podcast episode we recorded on Christmas Eve.
I know. It's great. That does feel like a lifetime ago, quite honestly.
And you know what was happening while we were recording on Christmas Eve? My body was turning against me.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I really came down.
Really came down. And little did I know, I was next up.
Oh, you were next up.
I was next in line.
So was our little niece, Elowen.
Oh,
she was
God.
Next. I infected many people.
But who infected you, though? That's the question.
I'm going to blame Saoirse.
Yeah, I mean... So it started with who was patient zero is really what the question is, but it could have been anybody.
Well, it turns out I had strep. It was strep.
Yeah. Except that your doctor just said, yeah, that looks infected.
Yeah. He eyeballed it. Anyway, it came down with something. Christmas Day was a very nice day of visiting family, seeing people I love, but I was miserable.
Yeah.
Did not feel good. Had the shakes, had the quivers. I had the clam bake handy palms.
You know, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the stage, Clam Bake Handy Palms.
Clam Bake Handy Palms. She's known for just having the sexiest palms. Everything else is really gross on her.
Yeah. Anyway, I have to say you did pull it together. Like you had a strong face that day.
Oh, Christmas morning, I couldn't get out of that bed. I almost blacked out. Yeah, in the middle of the night,
God,
I was blacked
right.
out. I was using the bathroom standing up, and I just like almost blacked out. I staggered back into that hotel room bed.
There I was. Using the bathroom, standing up.
I don't know why I'm censoring myself about bathroom stuff on this episode.
There I was, dick in hand.
I was taking a leak. I was urinating, and I think the vertical position, I just wanted to pass out. I almost fell over in that bathroom. I think it did stagger back and like fall into the wall a little bit. It was bad.
And I was like, oh, this poor bastard, he gets sick all the time. I'm like, he can be so sick, and I just never catch it because my immune system is... so amazing.
Stellar.
Yeah, I'm like, I work out, I'm healthy.
Yoga,
like,
spiritual,
yoga,
witchy,
I've got
sage,
crystals, like
Palo Santo.
Yeah, it's like, oh, he just, like, why doesn't he listen to me? And just,
he's so
like,
susceptible.
Yeah, he's just like, he's vulnerable, he's susceptible. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I am built like a brick house. Mm-hmm. Is that the saying?
Yeah, she's a brick shit house of immune deficiencies. Or
defenses. Yes, defenses.
Immune efficiencies.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. That's your... Well, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to stage immune efficiency. She hasn't had a cold since the third grade.
Yeah, I mean, you had strep for a full month last year.
That's because I'm an idiot. I'm such an idiot with doctor stuff. I'm like, I'm fine. This will go away in like 2 days. And then it doesn't go away. And I'm like, well, I already waited 2 days. I might as well just keep waiting it out.
Yeah, which I don't understand.
New policy in my life.
That's right.
If I start feeling sick, I'm going to the doctor.
Well, we got that CityMD. It takes our insurance two block away.
My doctor is like 4 blocks away.
Oh, really?
And he takes my insurance. Yeah. Himsha Patel, I think his name is.
Shout out.
Yeah, Indian man.
You don't say.
He's got an eye for strep, though, because when I went to that doctor, he just looked at my mouth and he said, yeah, I'll give you some antibiotics. And then I was out on my way in like 8 minutes.
So I thought I was like just feeling I had pity for you. Mm-hmm. Went to my parents' house. Thankfully, I was fine while I was at my parents' house and just like had a nice visit. Drove home back to my love.
Mm-hmm.
Woke up the next morning. And I was like, oh.
Sick as a dog.
I'm going to die now. This fucker, he got me.
I hoodwinked you.
Yeah, you hoodwinked me. And
I strapped you.
I thought that I could fight it off because I don't ever get sick. Mm-hmm. So I was just like, well, he has strep and needs antibiotics. But like, I probably just need to like get.
I like, probably just need like a vinyasa flow class.
No. I actually don't even. I'm not that natural about my remedies. I just like. Consume as many of those vitamin C packets as possible, which is usually my go-to.
It's always funny when I see you doing rails of them on the countertop, just like blowing them up your
nose. The good old days.
Yeah.
That's probably why I still get so many nosebleeds. Anyway, so I thought I could do that old song and dance. No, turns out I had the strep.
Yeah, you were strepped up.
I was strepped up, strepped out, and...
strapped it in.
Wanted to die.
Mm-hmm.
And because I am so arrogant about my wellness, I was on an emotional roller coaster while I had strep. I was like really upset.
Yeah.
And sad.
You like
and
took
vulnerable
it personally from
and
the universe.
I was doing the thing where my throat hurt so bad every time I swallowed, I winced. Yeah, it was fucking awful. Like, I was in a really bad shape.
It was a very hazy week there because, yeah, like, I came home the day after Christmas. I'd skipped going to your parents, and then I was, like, home alone for, like, 2 days just watching horrible movies or some good movies.
And you got
some
your antibiotics
stuff.
Right away.
I got the antibiotics. I'm just, like, checked out from the world.
With no one to take care of you.
Yeah, and, like... and then you came home and you were sick. And like New Year's, we just did alone at home together. Just like we were supposed to go to Jen's for like a potluck, but we were both still not feeling good at all. So that's weird that we rang in the New Year just like a couple of dogs that needed to be taken out back and just shot.
Yeah, pretty much. And I think that was the day that I cried a couple times because I was just like so vulnerable. And had been like cooped up in the house for like 4 or 5 days. Yeah. And I was just like, What is this life?
Jen came here with soup supplies. Ugh. Oh, what a saint.
That girl. I mean, that woman.
She is an amazing woman. You've heard her on the podcast. Yeah. If you haven't, listen 2 episodes back.
You'll hear her again. Yeah. She's a correspondent.
Yeah, we're going to have her back on the show to cover stories like what's happening in Syria, Russian involvement with the 2016 election, things like that.
If you're not getting enough insight from like any of your NPR podcasts,
yeah,
tune in to Who Cares About Ross and Patrick.
I will update our listeners on her child. She's still with child. And
Jesus.
I've had the honorary, I've gotten to name the child temporarily.
Yeah, the nickname has been set for in utero.
Yeah, the in utero nickname for Jen's child is Neon.
But I think
Neon Behar.
Yeah, you got to pitch it with the full name because I think the flow, like Neon Behar, I mean, that is a cool dude.
Yeah, I think they should just keep the name to be Neon Behar. Boy, girl, either way.
I kind of do too. I like Neon. I mean, we're in an age of just fucking dumb names. Yeah. Like, why not?
Go all the way. Go full throttle. In fact, name the kid Neon Full Throttle Behar.
I feel like it makes sense.
But yeah, she came over, took care of you with the soup supplies.
She kept her distance, but she did provide me with like healthy
broth. Oh yeah, because I had like a gig that Saturday. I'm trying to remember you being so emotional. When you talk about being emotional and not feeling well, I think of like one of your last periods where you were in like such insane pain.
Oh my God.
That I'd never witnessed before. That was...
That was really crazy.
That's what's coming to mind. And that was like a month or two ago.
Yeah.
You were like buckled over.
That was like 2 periods ago. That was horrendous.
Yeah, what was that? Did we ever find out? Was there something inside of you?
I did have some people recommend. I'll probably bring that up at my gyno appointment on Tuesday.
Hmm.
I did have some people suggest that I should check and see if I have cysts. Mm. So that's cool.
Mm.
I mean, it is also just possible, like, as you get older, sometimes things change with your period where, like, your cramps get worse and stuff. I just, for whatever reason, I missed my fucking window of when I needed to take ibuprofen.
Oh, yeah, timing the IB.
And, man, did I fucking pay for it.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah, that was brutal. It was
insane.
I've never seen you hysterically cry from pain, and I really felt for you.
It was horrible. I mean, it was crazy. I know that I just keep saying the same thing.
I was nervous.
It was like nothing I'd ever experienced before.
I thought you were going to have like the alien pop out of your chest.
I mean, that's what it seemed like. Yeah. It was like something was physically trying to crawl out of me, mm-hmm. but it turns out it was like just my uterus pretending that we were like having contractions.
Or
it was like, enjoy, bitch.
Or it was like two like squirrels having a knife fight inside your belly.
Animals were fighting it out for sure inside of me. And I was like, God, 4 ibuprofen never did so much.
Yeah.
My God. But anyway.
Yeah. So the whirlwind holidays. We both got sick. We finally made it out. New Year's happened. Happy New Year, listener. I hope you stick to your resolutions this year.
Or if you didn't make resolutions, like, fuck it. Because,
who cares?
Like, just,
go easy on yourselves.
That's right. Yeah. Just, like, I don't love resolutions. I like, what do I like? I like, I don't like goals either. I like intentions.
Yeah, setting intentions.
I like setting intentions. I feel like that has less pressure.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, I don't know, the whole, like, for me, doing stuff like that is just preparing myself for failure. So mm-hmm. I've never been one for that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
It's not my thing.
So a family event occurred on New Year's Eve.
Well, I thought I was dying. Is that inappropriate?
Yes, it is.
I'm sorry. I'm making dark jokes to deal with it. Very sadly, the patriarch of my dad's side of the family passed away. My grandfather passed away on New Year's Eve. Which was very surreal. We kind of knew he wasn't doing great, but that was a relatively new thing. Like it was over the holidays. Something.
He had a stroke a week earlier.
And was in the hospital, and they weren't really sure which direction it was going to go in. It was very sad. It's a really strange thing mm-hmm. when you're not particularly emotionally close with a relative. but that doesn't mean that you don't have all this history with this person.
Mm-hmm.
He knew me my entire life, which most people can't say that.
Mm-hmm.
It's just strange. It's strange to have those thoughts and feelings when you feel distant from somebody, but you know that it is sad, but you're not necessarily feeling particularly sad at the loss of them. And
but then to witness your own parent as child is always an interesting,
and that affected me,
context
fairly.
Situation.
Yeah. And that affected me pretty dramatic. I mean, not dramatically, but it affected me. And, my younger brother was taking it pretty hard too. And I felt like I was, stepping up for him, mm-hmm. and just being there for him to sort of work through that too. And it's not to say I didn't get upset. I certainly was like emotional during the service. And, funerals and death and dying is just such an odd experience. I mean, it's a natural part of life. Anything I say about it will be probably pretty trite and already said about a million times before by more eloquent people. But, it's like everybody's going to kind of come together and... Mm-hmm. And at least with my family, we didn't really grow up around each other. The extended family didn't. So it's like you're related, but you're not that familiar with each other. And so it becomes this like reacquaintance with one another. And
yeah, it's interesting how funerals can sometimes be a celebration of family in general, and like a reunion.
Yeah, it's a family reunion. Yeah. And that's what it felt like.
Yeah.
Which had its highlights, you know. I mean, I felt really connected to people that I haven't been connected with physically or emotionally or mentally in a long time. So, it was better than I thought it was going to be. I was a little just like, oh God, like dragging my feet a bit. And, my brother and I had a lot of bonding time, mm-hmm. and, I got some great vintage finds from my grandmother. My grandfather had been keeping some sort of like random selection of vintage clothes in this trunk at the foot of his bed. And my grandmother passed away like 7 years ago, I think, mm-hmm. now.
Yeah, she passed away
right when we fell in love.
In our first handful of dates there.
I know.
I can remember being a real rock for you while you were, mourning for
was
her.
Was that weird?
No, I'm being sarcastic. I feel like, sure, I was there, but I don't remember actually being a rock for you.
I think you were in some sense, because I felt like, oh, I have this new person that I feel connected to that is checking in with me and seeing how I'm doing and stuff. And I didn't have that prior to, you know?
Yeah. Well, so, I love learning more and more about her, because now there's, you know, with his passing, there's like been sort of a new batch of like insight into who she was. And, you brought home those photos. There's like a photo album you brought home, and you look so much like your father's mother.
Yeah.
And from the stories I've heard, she's a real personality. And
there's a lot of Suzanne in me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which I think sometimes freaks people out on that side of the family, because I am,
mm-hmm.
I sound like her a bit. She had a very loud laugh like I do.
Mm-hmm.
She loved fashion. Like, there's a lot of, you know, I often refer to myself as like Suzanne 2.0. Like, I sort of am the version that has a little bit more healing and tools, mm-hmm. and stuff,
mm-hmm.
Cause sadly she didn't get a lot of those, I don't think. But we have a lot in common.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you made like sort of a sojourn down, mm-hmm. to your grandfather's town.
Yeah.
I'm sorry I didn't get to go with you.
It's okay.
I had some work stuff come up, so I wasn't able to go, but, I mean, it got me thinking about when we got back together after the dark times. That was right when my grandmother passed away,
mm-hmm.
and you did come up with me to be around for that. And it was the same thing. It was like I got to see cousins and people I love from all over the country who all came back.
You do weird photo shoots where everyone's in black.
Yeah.
You're like, okay, family photos. Everybody gather around.
Yeah.
We did those too.
Yeah, and some of our most special family memories were from around when she passed away, which is both sad but also like beautiful, you know?
No, I think thank God for that, right? I mean,
yeah,
I think that's such a big part of, excuse me, I'm belching, everyone. I think that's such a big part of the mourning process, is reconnecting with people and telling stories and, you know, seeing where things overlap and really where your connections are and stuff. And I was saying to my dad too, who, you know, he isn't super close with his brothers, and he reconnected with, one of his younger brothers prior to our wedding.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they've like gone on a trip together now, and they've just reconnected in a way that they haven't been in many, many years. And I was saying that's really lucky that that happened before any of this did, so that like you guys are just like a stronger unit to deal with all of it, you know?
Right.
So yeah, I don't know. I'm sort of interested to see like where the Martineaus are headed now that the matriarch and patriarch are gone. But, you know, there's a fair amount of grandkids and extended family, and my brother and I are the oldest grandchildren. So we're feeling a little bit like, we feel like we have a little bit of a responsibility to keep in touch with people and keep things going. And we're talking about a family reunion. We'll see if we all pull it off. But, yeah, I'm glad I went, and it felt, more rewarding than sad.
Yeah.
And, you know, for better or worse, it's like, of course, our relationship to our grandparents can be complicated because of how different our generations are.
Yeah.
My grandfather was very conservative and had an interesting relationship with women.
Mm-hmm.
Not that he was like philandering, but, you know, he loved to look at them.
In various publications. Periodicals.
If you will. Annotated bibliographies. Nope.
I'm about to sneeze. You have to describe what's happening.
I was creating verbal tension.
Oh, okay.
Anyway. But even with that said, you know, I am a part of his history. Like, I'm a product of him and my grandmother and the life that they created, and then my parents' life, and just sort of like respecting that and honoring that, and like, and seeing young pictures of them when they were like really in love was really cool. I always love seeing that. And, you know, it's just, everybody's families are fucked up. Like, we all have like fucked up shit, right? Like, everybody has stories. And I think that's like when we can all acknowledge that is where a lot of common ground can take place.
Well, and it also seemed cool from, you know, the things you were sharing with me throughout the week. Like, you got to meet a lot of his buddies that would eat at the restaurant together every day and things like that. Like, that's always cool. It could be kind of difficult too when you learn like, oh yeah, like they had this whole other life that I was unaware of, or you know, like you were saying, these guys talk to you like they'd heard all about you. Mm-hmm. Like, he would talk to them about you guys, like your cousins, and your grandfather's probably really proud of all of his kids and what their kids were doing. And it's interesting that sometimes it takes a person passing away to learn how much they loved you, you know?
Well, I mean, that was the thing, like, so this restaurant that we went to, the bartender, he went to this restaurant bar every day or almost every day. And that's like where him and his two buddies would meet. And so
a neighborhood bar and grill called Applebee's.
No,
it's called Artie's.
Artie's, which actually was the food delicious. Artie's, check it out.
Yeah.
If you're ever in the Springfield, Virginia area, Fairfax, Alexandria, great. But the two bartenders, the two regular bartenders, a woman and a man, they, I believe, was her name?
Sheila.
I want to say her name was Jane.
Linda.
No, Karen. Was it Karen? Whatever. Anyway, they were a delight. And they spoke so highly of my grandfather and said that She was saying that she saw all my brother's videos of him performing mm-hmm. and knew that I had gotten married last year. And so like just all these things that you just have no idea because I didn't really talk to my grandfather
yeah.
that often. You know, he was proudly talking about us and you and I were talking about how, you know, sometimes it's like, I think particularly men of this generation, it's like easier for them to talk to other people in their life as opposed to like the person directly that they yeah. are, that they're proud of and that they love, yeah. you know?
Like I'm not going to tell my own son that I love him no. and I'm proud of him, but I'll tell everybody I know
He'll tell
that
everybody
he may
know.
Or may not ever meet.
yeah. Until I'm gone.
Yeah.
So there was a lot of that, but I mean, a lot of people came to the funeral and, you know, it felt like he had a community, which we didn't totally know about. And mm-hmm. so it was nice to see. You
yeah.
know?
Well, good.
And then what else? I came back from Virginia and our dear friend Danielle and Adam had a baby.
Yeah, little tiny Rom is here.
Rami.
Danielle, Rom's mom.
Rom's mom. Hi, Danielle Musafi.
I'm Danny. I'm Rom's mom. Picking him up. Is he done roller skating? Are they done?
Rom. Is the party over? Yeah, can you let Rom know I'm his mom?
Rom, it's your mom. He is adorable. They just Instagrammed these amazing photos of him this
so
morning.
Cute.
But yeah, he was born on January 10th, which is just about 10 days after your grandfather passed.
January 10th?
Yeah, that's what the birthday said on the Instagram.
That's what the birthday said.
That's the birthday.
Yeah, I don't know. It just felt like I was on a real journey of
life and death.
Life and death.
Circle of life. Is yeah. it, you're living the Lion King right now.
Yeah, I'm like serving full Mufasa.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever.
Danielle Mufasa Musafi.
Ooh.
Wow.
I don't know.
Are we allowed to say last names?
Sure.
Danny, Adam, we love you. Congratulations.
Yeah, we're so excited. And I went to visit them at the hospital.
Yeah, there's an adorable photo of you holding him. It's like a hazy. The photo's like hazy, so it looks like it was taken in the 70s.
Well, it's because Danielle is a mom now, so now she takes photos on her phone like moms do. Uh-huh. So they're all blurry.
No, it was a beautiful photo, and your hair is just like crazy in the photo. It's like
it's
like
enormous.
This, it's like a early 80s like just afro or something
yeah.
and it's yeah it made me feel very happy to see you in such a maternal space in
yeah.
the maternal space. I'm sort of occupying the maternal space.
Yes. I did cry. I got emotional.
Mm.
Holding this teeny tiny human that came out of one of my best friends who's like a sister.
Yeah,
it felt really yeah, special.
He's like a surrogate nephew.
He's our surrogate nephew, Rami.
And then we got Neon coming.
We got Neon coming.
He's coming down the pike.
Yeah, it just, I don't know. It felt so meaningful. And it was just like so crazy to see this friend that I've been so close with for almost 9 years now.
Mm-hmm.
Just fucking handle it. Just like give birth and
yeah.
like, but still just her. Like her and Adam were just like in this, I was about to say hotel room, hospital room, like. You know, she just kept being like, can you believe this came out of me? But like, she knew what to do
yeah.
too, you know? So, yeah. Yeah, it was cool. It was a nice way to sort of like come back into our life here
mm-hmm.
in the city.
Yeah.
After a sort of weird few days in Virginia.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to, things getting back in a groove.
Yeah.
You know,
it's not quite there yet.
The holidays are great. 'Cause I love seeing family and everything, but I always say, I just want to live a Tuesday on a loop. Just give me repetitive Tuesdays. Don't give me crap to celebrate or obligations.
But you'd want to fucking kill yourself if you were literally doing Tuesday on a loop.
Maybe, but you know, it's just a lot. There's a lot going on.
There is. I know.
A lot of moving parts, a lot of traveling.
But I think you probably want that because your life is never Tuesday on a loop. Like mm-hmm. we have very little consistency
yeah.
in our life
yeah.
most of the time with what our jobs are like.
Yeah. And that's what happened this week. I had this job that was like literally a 24/7 job where I had to like be not be home and like I haven't I was explaining this to Jenny recently.
Jenny, my therapist,
that I haven't had that feeling since I worked in production, where like you get a call and you're like, hey, this thing's happening. You got to go fly to Texas and cover this story for the next 5 days, and you have to go now. And like you wake up in the morning not knowing you're going to Texas the next day or that night or whatever. And then it's just like your life is pure upheaval for the next chunk of time. And I forgot how unsettling that is. And that happened to me right before you went down to DC. And it really threw me. So I'm just looking forward to regularity.
You're looking exhausted right now as we speak.
Papusaria. Papusaria. I mean, I'm losing it. Listen to me. Yeah. I am hanging on by a thread.
However, you did get a very sharp haircut yesterday.
I did. Man, I was looking homeless.
We both, I mean, what a stereotypical Brooklyn kind of day we had yesterday, huh?
Yeah. Oh, we'll both go to the salon and the barbershop.
Yep.
Go to yoga class.
Yep. Got a smoothie. Got my nails done.
I had an Americano. After I saw you, I got an Americano and a dark chocolate donut.
Then you picked me up from yoga. We went to your comedy show. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was just, what a day.
You came to two of my shows this weekend. Oh, my God.
Brother.
Wife of the century.
Yeah, don't forget it. I think I put in my time.
Friday night, you came to my show, and Alzo was hosting, and Alzo told me and you that, number one, I need to go to the gym.
Mm-hmm.
And number two, that I look like Shaggy from Scooby-Doo.
Pre-haircut.
Yeah, so that's really
that
sealed the deal.
That was enough to tell you.
Yep, time to rein it in. Because the beard was just like...
I was encouraging that bad behavior, I suppose, with the hair and the beard.
Like, oh, I like it.
Because I don't mind when you're shaggy on your head.
Yeah.
So just anyway, not saggy on your bottom. Oh!
I'll be going to Blink Fitness across the street this afternoon after we're done recording.
That's right.
And then you came to my show last night in Queens. Wife of the year.
Yeah,
really.
That's right. Don't forget it.
But yeah, we
should
just...
we talk about when I was at your show on Friday night?
Oh, yeah. I was trying to explain to my dear friend Tristan how your brain works compared to mine. Because
it's a big undertaking, you trying to explain that.
So you came to the show in this beret that's hilarious. It says feminist across the front, and it's just very funny. And
it's also, okay, it's a fashion statement, but it's also a warning.
Yes.
Like, I realize the kitschiness of it. I, like, bought it off Etsy. I have my own internal struggle with, like, capitalism, feminism, like... I'm wearing it on me. Like, it's a brand, you know? But I bought it, and I like it, and it's fucking cute.
Yeah, you look cute. You had your pigtails coming out underneath it. You had a great outfit, leather jacket.
I'm like...
You had some... what are those pants called?
Culottes. Get your culottes.
What's the length of a culotte?
It's like a mid-shin.
I was trying to kick up an old argument you had with somebody about culottes versus...
High waters. My mom doesn't listen to this, so it's fine.
Yeah.
But my mom and I really got into it over culottes v. high water.
You know the holidays are going great when you get into a shouting match over pant length.
Literally, shouting match. And then I was like, can you just shut up and can we watch 90 Day Fiancé? Thank you. And we did, and it was much better.
So you come strutting into this show in your culottes, your leather jacket, and your feminist beret.
Mesh bodysuit. I was going sexy.
That was very
feminist.
Sexy. Yeah.
Yeah. Slutty militant feminist is what I was calling the look.
And my dear friend Tristan sees Ross and says, hey, Ross, how are you? So tell me, what do you think? What did he say?
What do you think about women, or how do you feel about women?
Yeah. So I'm just curious. How do you feel about women? Making a joke, 100% making a joke because of the feminist
sure.
beret.
Yep.
And that, if I were you in that moment, I would have given a courtesy laugh and said something like, oh, you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But you were not, you were not given that gift.
No, I don't give that gift.
No. So
it's a shallow... sad gift that mm-hmm. no one should even want to receive.
Yeah. No, I know. I am a people pleaser. I'm in a conflict avoider.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't...
What was my response exactly?
I think
can you play it out?
I think it was a cold, dead stare.
Yeah, I stopped dead in my tracks, looked him in the eyes, and then I did a mocking laugh at him. Uh-huh. And I was like... Which is more of a visual,
yeah.
But just envision, listener, if you will, me like making a sort of frowny face while doing a mocking...
I want that to be my ringtone.
Like basically just being like, go fuck yourself and your hack ass joke.
Yeah. So that's the thing. You hate a hack joke and people love
an obvious joke.
Yeah.
Like
people love when you're at shows because you laugh really hard when you think something's funny. And I always like to tell people that if she's laughing, she means it because she's very honest.
I'm very discriminatory.
Yeah,
when it comes to my laughs.
Yeah. So anyway, later in the night, Tristan said something to me like, he's like, man, I think Ross really hates me right now or something like that. And I was like, oh, well, to be honest, I think in that moment when you made that joke, like she's just not, if she doesn't think it's funny, she's just not going to give you a response that you want. And it got me talking about you in a deeper philosophical way that like, I actually envy that about you, that you're just very honest and real about how you respond to people. And you're not a big faker like I am.
But it's also just like, I don't really know another way.
Yeah.
Like that's literally what just like comes out of my, sorry, I've got an earring situation here. Let me just deal with it. Yeah. It's hurting my ear.
Oh.
I'm sorry, my hands are so cold and it's hurting my ear.
I have to adjust my headphones because my earring is hurting.
Damn. Okay.
Well, and I might have told him about how we proudly call you a bitch on wheels.
Sure.
I hope
as long
that's
as
okay.
You weren't being a fucking apologist for me, then
no.
We're fine.
No, I was just saying like that's who she is and like she's just like I'm the nice one out of us.
And, or the fake one, whatever you prefer to call it.
Well, nice, fake,
same
word.
Shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, like nobody's going to be like, oh my, well... Actually, to my surprise, some people have told me they think I'm so nice, which I'm always like aghast.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, that's not an adjective usually. It's not the first adjective people use to describe me, which is fine by me. There are plenty of other things that...
No, I actually struggle with that too, because like in comedy, it's like you have so many acquaintances, like people rarely actually know who you are. And a lot of times people say about me, oh, he's such a nice guy. And I think that's actually more of a curse than it is like an asset or like a thing to be known for.
But that's what I think your material is so good right now. And it's so provocative because you're like really fucking with people's perception of you, which I don't know how much of your material you're comfortable discussing here on the radio waves. Is that what these
almost,
are?
Almost zero.
Okay, cool.
I mean, what I think is fun for listeners is if you're interested in what I'm talking about, come to a show.
Come to a show. But anyways, without being too annoying, the stuff you're working on right now is provocative and vulnerable and is not about you being a nice guy.
Mm-hmm.
So I think looking the way you do, I think it's good that you're... fucking with people.
Interesting.
It's much more interesting, I think.
Well, thank you.
But this isn't about you being a good comedian.
No, I really, I'm like fascinated about like exploring the way you approach day-to-day life. Like you're not, you're like,
what's it like?
No, what, like really, what is it like to like just not give a shit about like making that other person in an interaction like that? Like, I don't want to make this about Tristan. I mean, that was a small moment.
Yeah.
You know, like we love him.
However, I will say that part of that reaction to him was like, I do really like his comedy and think of him as being like a dark soul that makes a lot of like very dark humor that I relate to.
Yeah.
So that he making that joke to me,
it's like, you can do better.
I'm just like, you're fucking better than this. Like, why are you wasting our time with this, you know?
I think also in those show environments, like, I'm like so bad. I'm like so in my head about like 100 different things that I can't even enjoy those small moments with friends until after the show's over.
Yeah.
Usually. So Maybe that was part of it too. It's just like, how is she just so present and like honest and real?
I think I've just always, my defenses with boys when I was younger and men as a woman have just always been up, I think. I don't know why.
Yeah.
Sometimes I feel like I was born this way. And I just get really, like, I just have no time for bullshit, especially with men that are like
pushing your buttons,
pushing my buttons, or like being what they think is like cute or like flirty or whatever. Like, I just don't have fucking time for it.
Yeah.
Like, I just, it falls into my hatred of the patriarchy and just like very old stereotypical male-female dynamics of like women just having to humor men at all times in any way that they are coming across to you, not standing your ground. Because, I mean, honestly, if I think, and obviously I'm talking about this in like a very general way, if, you know, if a woman says something to a man in that, let's say in that context that we're just discussing of like making some like hacky joke to a dude, I don't think a guy would have any problem whatsoever just being kind of to the point about it with them.
Yeah.
You know,
like, come on, Sandra, that's a lame joke.
Yeah. I don't think there's the same, not to say like, obviously you're talking about that you're more of a people pleaser, so you do stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But I think that there's a lot less expectation for you to do that though.
Yeah.
And I've always been this way. Yeah. I don't know. I've just always had a very low tolerance, which maybe that's my parents raising me. Like, my dad's kind of a real fucking bitch when it comes to stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Like, he doesn't really fake it with people. Like, he doesn't like something, you know it.
You know what's so interesting about the word bitch is in the way you just said about your dad, my dad's a real bitch about in that way. You're saying my dad is very assertive or verbal vocal or direct or whatever. But I was just thinking, like, it's interesting. If you call a guy a bitch, it's emasculating. Mm. And you're saying, oh, that they're kind of a wuss or whatever.
Which I never use
but
it like that.
If you call a woman a bitch, you're giving her masculine energy.
Yeah.
Or you're giving her
that's very
aggressive
true.
Energy or something.
Yeah. That's totally true.
I don't really have much else to say about it, but that's just a weird thing how context is.
Well, and what's also you pointing it out, it's like I never refer to men as a bitch in an emasculating way.
Mm-hmm.
It's either like as a term of endearment or like calling my dad a bitch, I'm like, oh, I relate to you.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, like.
We're reclaiming bitch.
Yeah, we're reclaiming bitch here, everyone,
bitch
at the podcast.
Bitch on wheels. anyway, it's just, we'll get to the bottom of this at some point. It's just something I like picking your brain about.
Well, and I mean, certainly in different scenarios, particularly work scenarios, if I'm very direct like that, because sometimes I don't feel like I'm in control of it. Like when how I reacted in that particular instant was not thought out.
Mm-hmm.
Like that was just literally my gut reaction to that situation. I operate from my gut a lot.
Yeah.
I think. And I've gotten a bit better at not being so reactionary that it like is really negative and firing on all cylinders. Mm-hmm. But excuse me, still in the context, you know, in a professional setting or something, certainly I'm can do the occasional, oh my God, yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Oh, you.
Yeah, yeah.
But like
turn on the schmooze.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it makes my skin crawl a little less than it used to.
Mm-hmm.
But if I do just react, then I'm full of shame because I'm just like, oh fuck, I'm actually being too much of myself in this like environment where I'm not actually allowed to be as much.
Yeah, it's like you let out, like you revealed too much about your real self or something.
But I do think I am more aggressive when it comes to men doing it. Like humoring a woman making a bad joke doesn't feel so intense for me.
Yeah.
like I'm just sort of like, oh, she's not so funny, whatever, you know? Whereas like a man, I'm just like, I don't have fucking time for your bullshit.
Yeah, and we were talking about men who try too hard is a theme we've been talking about the last couple of days. I was sharing with you that I've getting unsolicited motivational quotes from a acquaintance who's a guy.
Yes.
And I was just saying, I don't know how to handle this. Like, I don't want to make him feel bad that he's like taking the time to send me this thing. And you were just like, you pointed out like, yeah, that's trying too hard. Why is he just like texting random people these things? And it got
unsolicited. Unsolicited.
Totally friendly with this guy. He's a good guy, but like, I don't, like, it had to take me talking it out with you to realize I don't have to respond to this. I don't owe him anything. Like, my mentality is he took the time to send me this thing, so I should at least say, oh, thanks for sending that, man. That's really great stuff. And you're like, no, he's trying too hard. And the problem with trying too hard sometimes is you're taking up space in other people's lives that they didn't ask to be taken up. And that's what I'm realizing.
But it's veiled in a cloak of like, but I'm nice or I'm funny or like, but it's like, no, you're fucking insecure and like making me like tell you like, you're great.
Yeah. You're like forcing the emotional labor on me now.
I'm like, pay someone to deal with that. Like, I'm not in that business.
Yeah.
I'm fucking busy.
But it got us kind of talking about the idea of trying too hard. And the problem with men who do it is that for a long time now, like, it's guys taking up emotional and physical space a lot of times.
Yes.
And it, leaving it up to, and you can help me articulate this, is it kind of putting it on the women to allow for them to take up that space or give them the permission to take up that space or whatever.
It's like emotional man spreading.
Yeah.
Like the trying too hard, you know? And God forbid you honestly react to somebody like that. And I'm definitely not like calling out Tristan right now. We've moved on from that scenario. You know, God forbid you react in an honest way and then you are a bitch. You are too demanding or too aggressive, you know, and you're taking up too much, like as a woman, you're taking up too much space by just like being annoyed by somebody, you know. Yeah. It like calls into question your whole being because, you know, in a very simplistic way, it's like not a ladylike response or something, you know? But meanwhile, it's like you're being fucking held hostage.
It's like, come on, hon, just laugh at all my jokes, make me nachos, grab me a beer, and let me watch this football game.
Which, as we know, you are not that type
of
man.
And can you do
whatsoever.
All that in a really cute pair of jeans?
Oh, jeans. Well, at least you're letting me wear pants. That's nice.
Mm-hmm. Well, like on sports day, they have to be sexy jeans.
Oh, okay.
Because I want my friends to know that I have a very sexy wife.
That you have a hot sex object as a partner.
Yeah, but they can't be too sexy. They have to like be jeans so that they know you're here to football party.
But I mean, I'll probably wear like my pink jersey or something and like maybe a pink hat.
Yeah.
But then maybe like an apron with like a number on it for like whatever team.
Yeah.
Maybe cute.
I think some women do like that role though, and I think it's totally fine. If they truly like it.
Well, that's the thing. No, and honestly, actually, while I was in Virginia, like my two female cousins, that are both in college, I think they really like college football. My aunt really likes college football. You know, they're from Texas. It's like a big part of their culture down there. But they're also very strong, outspoken feminist ladies. So like, yes, of course, women can like sports. That is definitely not my point. But I feel like once more people start listening to this, there's just going to be so much hate mail.
Mm.
But for now, in my sweeping generalizations that I'm making, it's the lack of consciousness, right? It's like not making a decision for yourself, and it's putting on a bunch of like girly bullshit to be like, this is how I can bond and be a part of it, you know, because there's like no other fucking option for you.
Yeah.
Trump's America. Woo!
Speaking of America, we could switch it up to a lighter topic.
Sure. Let's end on a lighter note,
shall
we?
We spent our morning.
However, still poignant though.
Yeah. We spent our morning with one of our favorite people today. We just really had a nice conversation with, a nice hang with our 44th president, Barack Obama.
Oh my God, I'm going to get so sad again.
We watched David Letterman's first episode of his new show on Netflix featuring Barack Obama.
My God.
I was rolled over on one side, but I was crying during the Selma segment with Senator John Lewis. Yeah.
Yeah.
God, watching this thing, and it's like, what an amazing man President Obama was. Of course,
nobody's
perfect, and of course he did a job of the United States president, which involves killing people in other countries.
Every decision he made, I'm not like here for.
I'm sure there were lots of shady war crimes that he's probably directly involved with.
You know, drones, all that sort of shit.
But what an amazing man in general.
I mean,
we're watching this thing, and I just
bitch slapping us, like what insane times we're in.
Yeah, like what a classy man.
Ugh.
Classy family, just an amazing life of service.
So smart.
So intelligent, and just like.
But well spoken in a way that I think people can relate to. Like, I don't think it's like, you know, whatever.
He's not highfalutin.
No, I mean, I'm sure tons of people think he is, but I mean, at the end of the day,
he had good bits.
So funny.
He's doing bits about his dad dancing.
And talking about his daughters and how proud he is of them. Yeah. And I mean, honestly, how he was talking about his mother too. Like, his mother sounds actually like a very radical figure. Yeah. Like a white woman who married two different men that were both different races and cultures from her and like just prided herself on giving her son like an amazing education. And I mean, in that era too, like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I want to read his book now.
But like watching it, it's just like had this thought of like, this person was in our White House and now we have a fucking pig.
It's like,
as our president.
It's literally like night and day. Like this charming, highly intelligent, respectful of women and other cultures, knows how to speak about these things in a way that can relate to other people. Like, it was just, and the audience like was just immediately just like roaring on their feet, like seeing him. Like, I mean, it really, it made me really sad.
Yeah. It was, but it's a great show. Check it out.
If you want to just like fucking cry yourself to sleep over like what, you know,
I mean, it's a tragedy.
What certain people voted into our fucking office.
Yeah.
Well, and it also, I mean, it's just, I don't know. It's just, it's the whole like argument for compassion and sympathy and being able to like relate to other people that are very fearful. And then like racism and lack of education like comes from this place of fear and like. And that this idea that like education is a bad thing, that it like makes you elite and highfalutin, but it's like also the people that are like jamming that message down this certain subgroup's throat are also the ones that are making it too expensive for anybody to actually afford it.
Yeah.
It's just, it makes me so sad because he's like the classiest act. And I just can't even wrap my fucking head around the fact that people are like,
there are people that hate him. They hate the family. They hate seeing photos of them in the White House. They can't handle that we had a black president.
It's like pure unadulterated racism. Like, I mean, really.
Yeah. And it's
the way he talks about Michelle, like he's so in love with her.
Yeah.
It like kills me.
And just like, just thinking about like, I forget what the last thing
I'm
was.
Sorry,
I interrupted
you.
No, that's okay.
I got so excited, but sad.
Yeah, just just the him and Dave talk about like how polarizing the media is and how it really
the algorithms.
Like that's just not. It's just such a strong force now. Like any little debate that pops up on Facebook, it's just crazy how people have one point of view. They're inflexible to seeing things a different way, and it's like we can't, as a country, like it's just not going to get better if we can't loosen up our perspectives.
It's true.
So anyway, it was overall a really beautiful show, but also very just like frustrating to watch.
Like I literally felt like, what can we do to have him like come back and rescue us? Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. Which I know is very, you know, I don't know. It's like the whole like Oprah's going to be our next, you know, it's very yeah. just like,
yeah,
not acknowledging all the layers. Right. But,
well, that's you were listening to some podcast this morning where they were saying like that's it feels like a solution because it's like a quick fix. Like right. if Oprah really were to become president, then it would feel like, oh, well, we won again.
Right.
Like
the right, people right. who. And when we keep doing this pendulum back yeah, and forth, yeah. it's just it's a fucking nightmare.
If she were to be president next, like who's after her? Like how much would the conservative.
What's the next reaction? Yeah, I know.
It would literally probably be one of those tiki torch motherfuckers.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, thank God we have more light stuff to watch on TV because
like.
The Bachelor's back, everybody.
Woo!
Ari's here. He race card in. He's driving his motorcycle. He's got a boot cut jean.
He drove up from the red state of Arizona
yeah.
he's in his boot cuts and a salt and pepper hairdo.
And a leather jacket with no collar.
They call him the kissing bandit.
Oh, the kissing bandit.
I know.
He's got like a mole rat eye socket. He's not sexy. These girls are fawning over him. And I'm like, he looks like a math teacher.
It literally takes one episode for me to like go, like, because I thought like Nick was kind of hot last season, two seasons ago. And I did kind of think Ari was handsome, but it's like, it literally takes one episode and I'm like, oh yeah, this guy fucking sucks.
He's a dweeb.
I forgot. Like,
total dweeb.
I'm like, even if you do have like fairly good looks, the yeah. moment that mouth opens and that bootcut jean is on, like, I'm out.
Yeah. He's like, he's like Chris Harrison plus one on
yeah,
the 10-point
yeah,
scale. Like, he's,
yeah.
like, Chris Harrison is just like, ugh.
Smarmy.
And then, yeah.
He's got a smarmy quality, Ari, for sure.
Yeah.
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 And I guess there's some stories that have come out about him, too. I haven't read them, so, you know, don't fact check me. Yeah. But Danielle Mousavi, she is actually going to become our pop culture correspondent. Because mm-hmm.
oh.
she her finger is on the pulse. She's reading all of the articles.
Did we ruin her? Because I think you brought her back into the Bachelor franchise last year.
No.
Was she getting away?
Well, she said to me this time that she, because she didn't watch Ari's season, which was however many years ago, 4 or 5 years ago, which he claims was the last time he was in love. So first of all, right off the bat, I'm like, oh, the last time you were in love was when you were on television with this woman for what, a month or two?
Yeah.
Whatever. So Danielle was like, oh, I don't know. And I was like, what don't you know? Like, we're watching this
yeah.
together.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You're fucking stuck in your apartment with your tits out for days on end. You're not going to watch The Bachelor with like Rom stuck to the front of you. Like,
yeah.
get the fuck out of here.
Rom, drink your, have your meal and
yeah.
watch The Bachelor.
yeah.
Rom and Ari.
But listen, I know after everything we've talked about so far, it might be confusing that I love the Bachelor franchise. But as, listen, it's not
you
a,
watch with your beret on, so
I watch with my beret
okay.
on. You know, there is a group of us feminists that find this franchise interesting.
Problematic. Oh.
Problematic and interesting to dissect.
Mm-hmm.
I often say I watch it from a sociological perspective, which I know sounds like a cop out, but it really is fascinating to me how these people that subject themselves to it. Like, it just is so.
There are some women that it's really looks like they're putting themselves through something horrible, and they might,
well, all of them
like,
are.
Like they might walk out of this mansion into the ocean if this doesn't go well.
They've got like, they've made a crown of thorns out of the roses that they've received
yeah.
and just fucking tied bricks to their feet
yeah.
and they just fucking head out.
Like episode one, two women drove up in race cars. Two separate women came up in different classic cars. Like, they keep the cars in the driveway to run themselves over with when they're not picked later.
Well, and it's getting, I do feel like it's getting weirder, too. Like, so with the element of Rachel being the Bachelorette last season, this highly educated, amazing woman of color,
mm-hmm.
right? So they have another amazing woman of color that's on the show that is a contestant who went to Yale, and
mm-hmm.
that, like, came up somehow. And Ari himself was like, I mean, this woman went to Yale. Like, I barely graduated high school. That's what he said. And I'm like, yeah, what the fuck is this bitch doing on here?
Yeah, he's like, I don't know why she's here.
Like, literally, like, you're stunning and incredibly smart. I have no idea what you're doing on here. Like, what's the end game?
I don't know.
Like, is it just fame and celebrity? Like, that's even incepted, like, our Ivy League schools at this point?
Probably because people are like, you know what? I'm going for that Instagram sponsorship.
I guess so, right? Because that's where the money is.
Like, I was looking at Instagram on, like, when you click the search thing and it's just like popular, like the popular page or whatever. Yeah. Is it Rachel with the kids?
What?
What's her name? The girl with the kids.
Who was on what season?
Florida. Several seasons. She's been on.
Was she a contestant?
Paradise contestant. Yeah. She was a.
Oh, Amanda.
Amanda with the kids. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm like looking at her entire feed is just different.
Yeah.
Like
that's how she's supporting her two daughters.
Yeah. It's
which I mean, you know.
Hey, get that money.
I guess so.
Yeah.
But also like, you know, she's been a bit away from them like multiple times for like prolonged periods of time, which is fine, whatever, like live your life. But doing a reality show and airing a lot of her shit like all over the national airwaves.
Yeah. But we know The Bachelor in the grand scheme is meaningless, but this podcast is called Who Cares?
That's right. We're going to get into
angle
light
of who cares. Yeah. It's like, no, really, who cares about The Bachelor?
However, I do like to play devil's advocate about this stuff because I don't think that, and you were not agreeing with me. I don't think I brought something up like this the other night, that in this day and age, I don't think that we can just dismiss reality television anymore. Like, you can't just be like, oh, I don't watch that.
Mm-hmm.
Because it is such a, I mean, we're literally living in the age of a reality TV show president.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that like to dismiss it is not to unpack like how much it has affected our fucking world.
Yeah,
like,
why are these things so popular? Why do people respond to it so strongly?
Yeah, like we need to look at it.
Yeah.
But I don't look at it that deeply. I'm more just fucking throwing shade at everybody that's on the show.
Yeah. I mean, it's a good way to check out because it is serious out there and life is hard. And obviously it's part of our privilege that we get to just check out from it with this show. Not a lot of people can't just check out casually.
That's true.
Now I feel terrible.
That's true. You're like, that's it. That was all. That's just a fact. Yeah. So that's it.
Anyway, we should tidy this thing up. Any movie recommendations? I feel like we watched a ton of movies while we were sick.
Oh my God.
You have a new favorite film starring Matthew McConaughey.
Who knew?
Yeah.
Who knew? Well,
the music of Elton John.
So, no, there was no music.
Yeah.
Oh yes, there was. Cause it was a bunch of pop hits.
Yeah.
Pop hits. Mm-hmm. Papuzaria.
Yeah, it's a film called Papuzaria.
Yeah, that was actually, they picked it up, this film. They found out about our jingle.
In the last 45 minutes, actually, the calls haven't stopped. The phone's ringing. It's going,
oh, because you're using my ring of bitchy laugh.
Yeah.
So while I was deadly ill, I wanted to, speaking of check out two children's films.
Mm-hmm.
That is sort of a favorite pastime of mine. When I was a real drunk and drug addict, I like to watch kids' movies because there's just really no other enlightened way to truly check out by pure fantasy.
Well, yeah. Was it like you wanted to feel innocent or something? You're like hungover on a Coke binge and you're like, let's watch Bambi.
I don't think it was as innocent. No, I would not have watched Bambi because that involved murder that would have brought me down.
Mm-hmm.
No, it was more of like an Alice in Wonderland situation.
You know?
No, I think it was just pure unadulterated escape.
Escapism.
Yeah. Just like,
which I think is how you sometimes watch TV now.
Now or my entire life. Yeah. Sure.
Well, what were the kids?
So the movies that are on my recommendations for this great nation, shout out to Throwing Shade. Sing. The children's movie Sing,
mm-hmm.
Starring Matthew McConaughey as a koala.
Yep.
which actually might be his greatest acting role to date, as far as I can tell, because it's the first time I haven't heard him just sound like himself.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say he actually, maybe this is what he sounds like, and everything else is just him like adding too much McConaughey on top.
Yeah, like there wasn't a lot of McConaughey. It was just like him playing a role. It was very interesting to watch.
Yeah.
Reese Witherspoon killing it as a pig. Name, what was her name in that?
Peppa? No.
No, that.
That's Peppa Pig.
That's Peppa Pig.
Also, check out Peppa Pig.
But yeah, it was a great film.
It was. The music's great.
The music's great. There's a hilarious scene where Matthew McConaughey as a koala does a car wash, and I was literally LOLing with my throat caving in on itself.
Yep.
Also, Zootopia, interesting feminist tale about a rabbit who wants to be a cop. And in that world, rabbits aren't cops because they're too small.
Mm.
Okay. But she does it, man. And she cracks a big case.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's feminism and it's about different cultures and like the foxes are, it's definitely like a discussion on race as well. Like she befriends a fox and foxes are known as being like, you know, sly.
So fox.
It's like they sort of discuss that all foxes are not to be trusted, but then they end up being like a good team.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether you have kids or not, I would strongly recommend Sing and Zootopia. There's a lot of great themes.
We also enjoyed Boss Baby.
That was a stretch for
me. It had moments.
I mean, it definitely had moments where we were laughing, but I feel like it was more like the plot was fucking bizarre.
It was a 90-minute movie that was about 75 minutes too long, but it was good.
Well, I feel like at the end we both were like, who wrote this screenplay? Like, this is a fucking weird screenplay.
Yeah. My recommendations are so far from children's films, conspiracy
dark
films. Watch Wormwood on Netflix, 6-part miniseries.
You're looking for something to put you right to sleep.
Very slow, but beautifully shot, wonderfully directed by Errol Morris, and just fascinating film. And the other one,
we could not be more different.
Unacknowledged on Netflix about alien conspiracies.
Oh
my God. The government is just hiding so much information. And they're out there and they'll be visiting us soon. Tune in next time. We'll share more about that.
I hope it's an Arrival scenario. I really do.
Well, what's
where
horrible,
they teach us the language of peace, but that's probably too much to ask for. We don't deserve it, quite frankly.
What's really horrible about this movie is that the main thesis of it is that the government is grooming the public to think that no matter who does arrive,
they're evil.
They're here for aggressive purposes and that we will have to unite as a globe to fight back. And really, it's just the next level of the military industrial complex.
So just the movie Independence Day.
Yeah, exactly. Well, the movie Independence Day, they even say is quite possibly government propaganda.
Of course it is. All those fucking military movies are.
Yeah. So anyway, check out Unacknowledged.
Oh
my cousin
God.
Sean recommended it to me like a year ago. I didn't watch it and I wish I did.
I'm going to need to watch an episode of The Bachelor like right now after this conversation. Yeah.
Anyway, thanks for tuning in to Who Cares? We love you. Leave us a review or rate us.
Review us. Subscribe.
Send us to your aunt and uncle that you haven't talked to in a while.
Sure. Freak them out.
Yeah.
Freak them out.
Mm-hmm. But yeah.
That's it.
Bye.
Watch The Bachelor. Question everything. We love you. Keep listening. Bye.
Later.
Maybe that's the ending. It's me being like, bang, bang, ding, ding.